You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me with Jose Mataro and Matt Cannon. Guys, welcome back to the show. I don't know about you guys, but every time I listen to that intro with the Stanley Cup calls, the first one, it's just so good. It gives me so much nostalgia. The next two, not my favorite. But, hey, we're back talking another week of Lightning hockey. We got a lot to get to. Welcome everybody in who's joining us live. But first and foremost, guys, how you doing today?
Doing pretty well. It's a little sad that Gasparilla season's over. Kind of, took the face back down to normal, and look forward to doing it all again next year. But man, in addition to all the festivities that we've had, the past week's been pretty good for Lightning fans as well. I can't wait to talk about it, because there's honestly so much to get to and so much to look forward to in the upcoming tournament. I'm looking forward to this podcast, guys. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Four straight wins, one I was in attendance for. Chiefs lose, America wins. I've had a pretty good week. I'm not an Eagles fans by any means, but they were my pick at the start of the season, so I'm looking pretty smart right now. And I got a bunch of friends that are Eagles fans too, so I'm excited. I had a great week, and I can't wait to talk about it with you fellas.
Yeah, a lot to get to. Four Lightning wins that we'll have to recap. We'll look ahead at the Four Nations face-off as well. That's coming up here tomorrow as of this recording. And then, of course, we have our three stars of the week that I'm actually pretty excited about this week. A little bit different this time around, but you'll have to wait and see when we get there and who we picked for our three stars of the week. Don't forget, though, guys. Don't forget to subscribe to RBLR Lightning, right, or RBLR Sports on YouTube right now. We're really close to 500 subscribers. We'd really appreciate it if you guys can jump in there and you can ring that bell for notifications too, so you don't miss out. When we do go live for these awesome episodes, you can join the conversation with us right here. Don't forget, if you're with us live, drop your comments down below. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say, and we can talk about all of your comments and opinions. But with that said, let's get into the game recaps here for the Lightning. And guys, big games. As we talked about on last week's show, these were all Atlantic Division opponents. Two against the Ottawa Senators, who were right there, actually ahead of the Lightning at the time of these games. And then the Canadiens and the Detroit Red Wings. And Lightning got off to a good start with a 4-3 win over the Ottawa Senators. So a big 2 points that they pick up here. The game got a little close towards the end. They got the empty netter, and then Ottawa scored one late, but a solid game for the Bolts.
Talking about the empty netter that the Lightning got, that was Ryan McDonagh coming out of the penalty box with looks like about a minute 30 left in the game. So Ottawa got a power play in the closing stages of the game, and arguably our best defensive defenseman ended up taking a penalty right before it. So that was honestly a huge finish. And I know that, Ryan McDonagh had to have been just kicking himself to be going to the box that late in the game. But for him to come out and honestly make a pretty decent skating move in order to get to that empty net goal is a good way to close it out. You let them score later and end up kind of being inconsequential, but it was a pretty solid back and forth and a huge, really, it's a 4-point swing.
Yeah, and Senators games are always really fun, no matter who wins. They're always entertaining games, and for a good period there, or a good couple periods there, I was nervous. You got a team nipping at your heels, or I guess you said they were ahead of us at the time as well, but a team that you're jockeying for a playoff position with, or they're always super entertaining games, and lucky enough to be there for a win. But like you were saying, Joe, it got scary there. Ryan McDonagh, your best, defenseman, penalty killer, going to the box with, a minute and chair, I guess, a couple minutes left in the period. Things got dicey there for a minute. But I thought the Lightning were never really in any danger of losing this game. They felt like they were in control for most of the time, going up against Linus Olmark, too. found a way to solve him. Not easily. The Bolts have their fair share of good shots and everything, but
let's be clear, 38 of them.
It was not easy solving him at all, but at the end of the day, come out with a win. Again, never really in any danger to me of losing the game, but it still got a little close there. But again, coming away with a big divisional win.
Yeah, I was going to say it didn't feel this one like a gimme game by any means. I mean, the Lightning were pretty much pathetic in the faceoff circle too, which maybe that's led to it feeling almost as if Ottawa had a little bit more control because, you know, when you start off with the puck, they won 62% of their faceoff draws, so that's a lot of extra puck possession time just to start, you know, every draw with.
Ottawa had a 1-0 lead after the first period, but shout out Luke Glendening, who gets on the board to tie this game for the Lightning at 1-1, and there's a little bit of your dip scoring showing up. That was a big problem for the Lightning on their, I don't know if you want to call it a losing streak, but it was that stretch of games they were not playing well. They were losing a lot of their depth scoring, and of course the top guys weren't able to finish. You got a mix of both in this game. Nikita Kucherov, Brandon Hagel getting in the mix, and then Luke Glendening, and of course Ryan McDonagh, even though it was an empty netter, getting it on the score sheet as well. So shout out to Luke Glendening and some of those depth guys cashing in.
Yeah, and even on that Glendening goal, that it was actually a Gergensen took the puck and made a really good pass up to the point, extended a possession time instead of, you know, forcing it to the front in order for it to go point to point. And then the shot came in, and it was a beautiful tip by Glendening. Beautiful.
It was a nasty tip, too. A beautiful tip, but I was on the other end of the arena in the other corner from where it was scored from, and, you know, 300 level, pretty high up there, and you could see just how nastily he deflected it. If you can see it across the arena three rows up, you can see it with your own eyes, that puck just dip like that. I knew it was just a beautiful deflection. I said it in that game too, Glendening needs a goal. Like, he's not one of these guys that, like, I'm begging for him to score. I know I was saying it in the chat a couple weeks ago too, that, like, he's a guy that no matter what his stats are, is still doing his job. He's a very, very responsible player, great in the faceoffs, which it seems like not many other people on this team are, at least in this month of February. It's been an issue. He quietly does his job, and if he scores, it's a bonus, and he did in this game, so I was really happy.
Well, going into the next game against the Ottawa Senators, the Lightning talked about how this is basically a playoff series. They need to play like that. This was another huge game. Their work wasn't done. You know, you win one against the Senators, but then they win the next one. Things basically are even. Both teams getting 2 points. So another big game for the Lightning, and they came through in this one. Final score of 5-1. It felt like it was going to be close again. Heading into the third period, it was a one-goal game, 2-1 Lightning lead. But the Bolts come through in the third period with 3 goals, including an empty netter from Eric Chernak, which, guys, I don't know about you, I think was the goal of the year. I got a kick out of that one where Chernak flung it around the boards as he got demolished, but still put it in the back of the net. So Lightning win 5-1. They get 4 points from the Ottawa Senators, while the Senators get 0 on these two games. Two huge, huge wins for the Lightning, and overall, not too shabby.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about the Chernak empty net goal. He, you know, we give a lot of grief to Chernak, but that was a hard nose play because he had Brady Tkachuk absolutely driving down on him, and almost to the point of it potentially being a charge the way that he skated into him to hit him. And Chernak did what it took in order to get the puck off his stick, and he kind of hit the boards with it, you know, banked it into the empty net. But at any rate, he was clearing it with less than a minute to go in the game. Ended up going in the empty, and it's a big play, knowing that he's going to be having pressure, you know, taking the hit in order to, you know, help seal this win.
And this game and this goal specifically seemed like what kind of turned his week around. In the first game against the Senators in this little mini series, he had himself a whale of a game in the worst way possible. I mean, you know, taking himself off the ice for 2 minutes for, you know, trying to fight an unwilling combatant, and then just finding himself being turnstiled and just not an overall good game in that Tuesday game. And he responds greatly in this game. And I know it's just an empty net goal, but, it was a funny one. And I thought it helped him carry over some mojo, which we'll see, you know, on the stat sheet, but also not on the stat sheet as well. I thought he had a really good following 3 games after this one. Even Morgan's so excited that Chernak has a little bit of a point streak going on.
Always love to see when Chernak can get things going, because you're right, Joe, we've given him a hard time, and he's had some up and downs and has some injury problems, but always nice when he's on point. He's playing well, and the Lightning can use a solid defensive like him, especially with J.J. Moser still out right now, hopefully back after the Four Nations break.
You think this sparked him for the next game?
You know, Joe, it just might have. Lightning went down to Detroit to take on the Red Wings. This a 1 p.m. game. I need to correct myself from last week's episode. Matt, me and you gave the NHL schedule makers a hard time on a back-to-back 1 p.m. game. But I do give them a little bit of credit on this because I forgot Sunday, of course, was the Super Bowl. You don't want to be playing a game during the Super Bowl. No one's going to watch it. Except for your band fan bases. And to avoid having a 7 p.m. game and then a 1 p.m. game, they did both the games at 1 p.m. Still don't love the back-to-back, of course, but you know what? I take back my gripe a little bit for the initial schedule makers. Good job. That was actually a smart decision.
And it was fair because Montreal had the back-to-back as well.
That is absolutely true as well. So I do give them credit for that. I apologize to the NHL schedule makers for giving you a hard time last time. But to the game, Lightning come through. They win 6-3 is their final score. But the big thing to talk about in this game was a player that got called up from the AHL playing his first game as a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning and scoring his first goal as a Bolt. It was Dylan Duke. He stole the show. All of his family and friends were there in attendance as well, who also got to see his brother later score for Michigan in the same building not too long after this game. So the Duke family having a great night for this one as the Lightning come away with a 6-3 win.
Oh, yeah. This game, kind of like the Ottawa game, the second of the two, the score didn't really reflect how close this game actually was. Like another game that was, you know, rather, oh my gosh, it was much closer than the score predicted. Like Detroit was out shooting us. They really dominated the second period there. Like Lightning, you know, scored a couple quick goals, I guess four goals in that first period. It was a 6-goal first period combined, goaltending change and everything else that came with it, and then they just kind of lost everything they had in that second period. And Detroit played really well. They have been since they've relieved Derek Lalonde of his duties and hired Todd McClellan to be the bench boss. And they've been playing really, really well, but still just the Bolts hung on just enough to keep it close in the third period and got out with a final score of 6-3. But yes, you're right. Dylan Duke did steal the show in this game. I mean, I think everybody was just elated when they saw a guy get even a simple tap-in goal, which he kind of started that play too. He didn't just have it show up on his plate. He generated a lot of the scoring chances and pressure in the offensive zone that ended up leading to his first NHL goal with family in attendance. I mean, it's storybook stuff right there. I had to think, though, like, you know, getting your first goal in your first NHL game and, you know, your first game with your new team, the big league team, and Zemgus Girgensons, who's been blanked for 50 or 51 games at that point, has got to be like, are you kidding me? What do I got
to
do?
He's got to step up. That's what he's got to do. And going back to Dylan Duke, though, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a tap-in. I think he had to actually work a little bit for this. You have to get into a good position. You have to be skating hard to be in that position. Came at a kind of a funny angle, and it was like a backhand, almost shovel sort of shot. So it wasn't a straightforward bury, kind of like Chafee got in the last game for the empty net goal that he had, where it just came right to his forehand, right to his tape, and he put it in. Dylan had to work a little bit. But what a story, man, to come up, have your family in attendance, be it at basically your – you know, the arena that you played in growing up against the team that you always watched, and on a stage like that, that has to be, you don't get a bigger welcoming to the NHL than that one. I could only imagine what his, I guess he really wouldn't have gotten much of a chance to celebrate it with a back-to-back, but man, what a high he must have been on by getting that goal. And, you know, the Lightning, this didn't feel like a game that they completely dominated. You're right there, Matt. They got those four goals on only 7 shots, chasing the goaltender after the first two. They were bending but not breaking. There's a bunch of amazing Vassie saves as well. Was this the game that that Lilleberg was in the net to block a.
No, that was next game against the Canadians. The next game. I'm pretty
sure there was a bunch of saves though that Vasi had, a bunch of defensive efforts in order to, you know, help clear stuff out from in front throughout all these four games. And the fact that there is 37 shots for Detroit versus the 18 for the Lightning, I think tells more of the story than the 6-3 win, because the Lightning were very, very opportunistic, but they really didn't dominate.
No, not at all. I mean, there were multiple times in this game where you felt like, oh boy, Detroit looks like they're knocking right on the door and they're going to come back in this game. Credit to them, when they made that goalie change, it sparked them. They pushed right back, but Vasilevskiy and some of the defense a little bit was able to hold them off. Vasilevskiy was fantastic in this game. He's been stellar the last couple of weeks now. I feel like he's really been on as, you know, when he got injured and came back, he was a little slow getting back. And then there were a lot of questions. Was Vasilevskiy ever going to be the same again? He kind of looked the same again. So he's playing, making some of these saves. He was huge in this game.
Jake, do you have the, you know, you said in our little chat the quote that Vasilevskiy had about the...
About Ovi?
Yeah, that one. Do you have that easy to pull up for yourself? To
I can
re-read?
Get it in just a split second here for you.
All right, and I'm bringing this up because it, I think it's relevant to the way he's been playing recently and really the way he takes his whole career.
So simply put, the quote was, "I'm not an octopus," and that was in response on Vasilevskiy stopping Alex Ovechkin's shots.
And he also said to, in regards to when he's facing Stamkos, that it's not a matter of if Stamkos is going to score on him, it's when. And you have to understand, this is coming from arguably the best goaltender in the world, somebody that's got a pair of Stanley Cup victories under his belt. He's got all the hardware, and he says things like that. And what it means to me is that he has a very, very short memory. So if he gets scored on, he can acknowledge it, he can learn from it, and he can move forward without it destroying him psychologically, where there's quite a few goalies that after they get one in, they start breaking down mentally. And Vasi really does not have that mindset. And we've seen it over the years where, you know, I don't want to be pulled. I've got four goals on me, but leave me in the net. I don't really feel like any goals necessarily affect his state of mind. And these past couple of games, these past couple of weeks, I think has really displayed just, you know, what a brilliant goaltender he is in terms of his ability to bounce back from a goal that scored on him, a loss that he's had, you know, playing in back-to-backs. He's a really amazing goalie on more levels than we actually give him credit for.
Yeah, and, you know, the mental aspect of playing, you know, any sport for that matter, but the goaltending position, I mean, it is an extremely cerebral position to be in. You know, there's hardly anything good you can do, like, for an immediate impact on a team. Like, if you're having a bad game, if you're a forward or a defenseman, you can score a goal, and, you know, your bad can be washed away. But as a goalie, all you can do is your job. Like, all you can do is stop a puck. You'll get the rare goal or something like that from a goalie, but that's not really part of the job description. Your job description is to stop everything coming in front of you, and if you let one in, it's a bad job by you. And the mental weight of, you know, even the lowest tier goalie, beer league goalies, you still don't want to let your team down. You still have to know, like, what are you smirking about?
I can't.
I'll leave it.
Just playing beer league, it just, you know, sometimes it happens. You know, where they, you know, kind of, not necessarily on any of my teams, but maybe previous teams where it's like, all right, bud, pack your bags.
And it's got to suck being that guy. Like, being, you know, if you're self-aware, like, I know if I'm playing a bad game on, like, you know, NHL, the video game or something, I'm pretty self-aware of it and I feel bad for my teammates or whatever. Yeah, I'm just saying it's an extremely hard position to, you know, first of all, be good at, and then second of all, bounce back from, you know, from back surgery, as Jake likes to you know, always point out. But it is a huge thing to come back from, especially at an elite level. People saying you're washed, you're not who you used to be, just like Stamkos last year, coming back with a vengeance. So yeah, extremely proud, extremely happy of where Vasilevskiy has found himself back to be at the elite level.
Well, and we kind of thought that would be it for Vasilevskiy until after the break, especially with the back-to-back. He very rarely ever plays those back-to-backs, but it was Andre Vasilevskiy in net for the next game for the Lightning against the Montreal Canadiens. That's really hard to do. Playing back-to-backs on the road is no easy task, and Vasilevskiy was stellar in this game as well. The Lightning get a 5-3 win in this one. A couple of things to point out in this game, but the one thing trumps them all. Because there's one Bolt who did not score a goal for his entire career as a member of the Lightning. It just seemed like he was never going to score. He finally gets on the score sheet. And, of course, that's Gergensens who finally gets it in the back of the net. It was a 4-1 goal, but it was probably the biggest goal. A lot of smiles going around on that one.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of when Corey Perry, you know, scored one of his goals. And he, like, literally you saw him pull the monkey off his back and throw it after as his goaltending his goal celebration. It's great to see him bury one. It was I feel like he's been playing a little bit better recently too.
He has been playing a lot better recently. Like, there was a period there where I was like, what does he even do here? Like, you know, maybe not a Connor Sherry 2.0 where you're just skating around. Relax. But you know, I
can't relax about Gergensen.
I know she's so excited too. But he's been playing the right way recently. Like, there's been chances, and I'm pretty sure he even had a goal called off early, like way early in the season, I'm pretty sure too. So I'm glad it finally came for him. He had a really good chance in the first of the two Ottawa games this week as well. He had a nice one timer, and then Chernak kind of promptly ended that rush with his fists. But he's been playing the right way recently. And, you know, what have we been begging for over the last month? You know, the entire month of January is for the depth to step up. And it seems like they've, you know, done that a lot this week. And finally gets himself on the score sheet with a nice play from Cam Atkinson, too. Like, it was not easy getting the puck open, you know, into the open ice on the open side of the net there. Like, he really had to do some stretching before and after the game to be able to make that play. So good on that whole fourth line.
I would say, for it only being his fourth assist from Atkinson, that looked like such a poised veteran, like, I do this sort of thing all the time, pass over to him to get him the goal. It looks like they've connected a lot, and they haven't this season, but that looked like a play that they've done 1,000 times with how smooth it went down. And you mentioned the Chernak rush. I do want to point out, and because I meant to recap in the last game, he was a +3 against Montreal. And against Detroit, he had a goal and two assists for 3 points. Against, yeah, did something drop back there, Matt?
That's a bone, I can tell.
Yeah,
that's a bone. Yeah. Against Ottawa, he had a goal. Talking again about Chernak, so he was a +7 over these four games.
Man, that's impressive stuff, right? There were a lot of guys that had some very high plus marks. We'll get more to it in the three stars, but great to see everybody just playing well. You had the goalie pull in this game as well, again, and as Daniel pointed out here, back-to-back. Oops, sorry, that's not the right one. He put another one in there. Love seeing the Bolts chase goalies in back-to-back games. Yeah, that was awesome to see. You don't see that very often, chasing goaltenders, period. But very, very nice to see them do that. His other comment here, Daniel, we'll get to that one too. Back-to-back with 2 weeks off is the right call. Yeah, and you know, I understand that, and more than likely it was, but I thought maybe there was a chance they'd still give Halvorsen the shot, and I know it was a big game division-wise. Montreal's a little bit further down in the standings. And even though you have the 2 weeks off, it's always tough to play back-to-back games like that, especially as a goaltender. After Vasi just faced all those shots, it was not like it was an easy game for him against Detroit. He had to work a lot. So, and just even more credit to Vasilevskiy again that he was able to do that in back-to-back nights. I mean, that was huge.
Sometimes it'll seem like a lot of work, but you come off of a victory like they had in Detroit, and you might actually be energized from it. I know that I'm sure you guys have seen there's been a lot of comments from coaches and from players talking about the Four Nations, which I can't wait to touch on as well. But when their players come back from those tournaments, they are more energized than when they left. It's almost like a refreshing sort of thing. And I think that's probably a similar case, too, for the game against Detroit, where, yeah, he saw a lot of pucks, but he played really well. He was in his groove, and he didn't have to worry about playing another one on, say, Tuesday. So if he's ready to go, give him that start. It's a really important game.
And, yeah, again, we're not unused to seeing Vasilevskiy start the occasional back-to-back, too. And even though Montreal is still pretty far down in the standings, they're still only, you know, separated by a single-digit amount of points, I'm pretty sure. So you want your best goalie. You want the best goalie to maybe secure an extra 2 points and, you know, go into this break strong as well. So I think it was a smart decision by the coaches. And maybe his stat line wasn't the prettiest, you know, allowing, you know, 3 goals in back-to-back games, but he really was the best player, I'd argue, in either the Detroit or the shoot, maybe in all these games this week. You know, you could argue for a couple others, but he really did save our bacon on a couple of different times, at least in the last two games.
That was the nice thing about these weeks is there were so many players that there's so much going on. There's so many things we can touch on. There's literally not enough time in the show to cover them all. Because we can say, Hagel had 5 goals in 5 games, right? Is that number accurate? Maybe it
honestly sounds a little low.
4 goals and oh well, actually, I have the stats pulled up for the last 4 games, so you might be right on 5 goals in 5 games. I know he had 4 goals in 4 games.
Yeah, so I mean, he was playing extremely well. We didn't even touch on the fact that, you know, Kucherov, you know, basically took a maintenance day, extra day off, because he may have tweaked something. So that allowed other guys to step up, right? That we saw. Do we want to have Jake say his name now?
Yeah.
Yeah, who was on the first line?
Which, are you referring to Gonsalves?
Yeah.
Hey, I maybe one time before the show that I couldn't do it, but I can do it. Don't you doubt me.
But he had a great game. He looked amazing out there. You know, we talked about Cam Atkinson having 4 assists, and we've, you know, said his name. He's already got 6. He played really well with upper line, the higher line. He looks like a completely different player. And it was a night that, yeah, you miss not having Kucherov on the ice, but at the same rate, the team didn't look as inept as we've seen on other times where they just can't generate offense without him.
It opens up some creativity, too. And with, I don't know if we touch on this on the show, but Geeky got sent down to the AHL, which I think is probably a good move. It seems like he was starting to stagnate in the grind of the NHL, might have been starting to catch up with him, too. And then, you know, having Gonsalves, you know, be the odd man back in now with Geeky down in the AHL, I think that might honestly help his career. I'm not sure if he's still a ready-to-go full-time NHLer, but he was playing like it this week. You know, opening up with the loss of Kucherov and Geeky being sent down, it opened up a new opportunity for him to play at least a different style of hockey than, you know, third and fourth line grinding. Being elevated up on a you know, higher line, it seemed to work wonders for him. And, you know, we're not even – we still got more to talk about him later, too.
Kind of an unfortunate timing on the Geeky send down, though, because a couple of guys got banged up as soon as they did that. Sorelli got hurt in the one game. He later came back, though. Kucherov, by the way, is officially day-to-day with an upper body injury, so it doesn't seem like it's anything major, fingers crossed here, that it's not. But with the two-week break, that's going to help, and the fact that it's only day-to-day. So good news there.
They said it was in the actual warm-ups or the practice against the Red Wings the day before, and maybe it was something just like an abdominal strain where that'll go away on its own. He's got 2 weeks off, but you can't really play with it if you've got it.
He still put up 3 points against the Red Wings, too.
He did. He took pregame warm-ups in the game against Montreal and was expected to play, but then last second got scratched. And my guess is that it was bothering him enough, and they said, let's be careful with it, not make it anything more serious. You got the 2 weeks off here anyway. No need to rush it. And they were absolutely right to make that decision. If you're wondering where the Lightning sit in the standings now-wise, after a 4-game winning streak, picking up those 8 points, they are third in the Atlantic Division with 66 points. They still have a couple of games in hand on both Toronto and Florida. They're tied with Toronto in games played. Toronto is 2 points ahead of them. And then Florida, in which they have 2 games in hand, is at 71 points. More importantly, Ottawa, Detroit, Boston, Columbus, all those teams are down a little bit further now, with Ottawa the closest team at still 4 points behind the Lightning, and the Lightning have a game in hand on the Senators. So they are in a very nice spot at third place right now.
They're in a great spot. They have, again, all the potential to be able to take over the entire division. But can I just say, I didn't realize that I have OCD as badly as I did. But now that all is right in the world, I just feel better seeing Boston. Not just that I don't like Boston. No, I don't like Boston. I can't stand Boston. But that their goal differential was such trash, yet they were sitting in that third spot. And now they've sunk down in the standings to have both the Senators, the Red Wings, I guess all three of us, and the Lightning get ahead of them. So they're sitting in sixth spot. And their goal differential is negative 25. Like, I don't think they're coming back from it. But...
they're still
man, I don't know why I was stressing out so much about it. Seeing that just really bugged the hell out of me. It's good to see the other teams rise above them.
Everything is right in the world.
Well, as they often say, the goal differential will tell you a lot about where you're going to end up in the standings. And Boston has fallen off a little bit. And that's what overtime points and extra games will do. That's why they were so far ahead of everybody, even with that bad goal differential. But Lightning sit in third place. They're in a good spot. And now... we're sitting on a two-week break as we get ready for the Four Nations face-off. But before we get to all of that fun and all the Lightning players are going to be involved there, we should get to our three stars of the week. All right, I do want to get to this comment, though, before we start the three stars. Daniel threw his prediction out here for who he thought was going to be the three stars. He said Gergensen's, Glendening, and McDonough. I'm not going to tell you if you're right yet, Daniel, but there's his prediction, and we'll start going through them now on who our three stars of the week are. Let's start with number three. Well, he was on your list. It was none other than Zemgus Girgensons, who gets the third star of the week. He scored the goal. You got to give him a star. And you guys mentioned it. He was playing well early in throughout this week, and he gets the goal. That's the big one. Congrats to Girgensons. He gets the third star of the week.
He's a minutes eater, right? You know, I talked about this with Sherry last season mostly, but he eats some minutes. He's a big body, so he can lay a nice solid hit, wear down the defense. He's negative four on the entire season, which, considering where he's playing, isn't that big of a deal. He was plus two in this past week, and he saw his first goal. I mean, it's not somebody that we get to feature a lot, but when you've been working hard and it pays off, give the guy a star. I'm glad to see that he's doing well, and to see that our lower lines are having some productivity.
And sometimes, it just takes getting the first one to really, get the ball rolling. And, if he finishes the season with like five goals or something, I'll be happy. Just get the ball rolling and keep playing the same style of hockey. I hate, using Sherry as the whipping boy, but, it is what it is. And, he was just a net neutral on, everything he did. He wasn't really putting up points. He wasn't playing defensively. He wasn't checking or, anything out of the park. And Zemgus Girgensons, he's leading the team in hits by a forward, I'm pretty sure. Like, he's not a net negative or a net neutral now with, having a goal under his belt. It's starting to turn. So he plays the right style of hockey, and you keep playing the right style, good things will happen, good things will come, and it did happen. So good on him for a meat and potato style of hockey and a good week.
I should mention our theme to these three stars of the week was kind of the unsung heroes, because there were a lot of guys that could have got on this list very easily, but did something a little bit different, as I mentioned. So our number two star of the week is a guy who hasn't played many games for the Lightning, but the ones he's played have looked very, very good. And that's none other than Dylan Duke, who gets the second star of the week, scored his first goal in his first game as a member of the Lightning. A great celly too, I might add. Always love a good celebration after a goal. So he gets the number two star of the week, guys.
Look, he's got 15 minutes worth of ice time in the NHL. It's not a large sample size, but it was a very exciting occasion to have him score his first goal. It was very exciting to see a highly touted prospect wearing the Bolts uniform. Is he ready for, to play 82 games? Maybe not, but there is a lot of excitement that could be wrapped around just the fact that we do have a prospect that has a lot of upside. And he's a name that, without a doubt, in the future, you're going to be hearing a lot of, man, getting one goal in the one shot that you get for a game. What a magical experience that must have been. I love that he's the second star.
Yeah, and, you know, his play didn't exactly blow me away this week. And, you know, I wasn't expecting it to either for, you know, a 20-something-year-old kid playing his first NHL games, but everything I did see out of him was fine. Nothing special or anything crazy. Getting the goal, of course, was, you know, super, super cool. But, you know, if he can, you know, make an impact even at the smallest level, it seems like he did play the right way. I didn't see him out there for any stupid mistakes or nothing that would really detract from his game. So if he can keep playing the right way and keep you know, providing to his team while he's up here, you know, while we're dealing with a couple of little bit of injuries. He's probably not going to play after this tournament with Kucherov coming back. But again, just like I was saying with Zemgus, playing the right way. And hopefully he can just keep making an impact with these games that he's playing.
It's a good start. No complaints on what we saw from Dylan Duke in the very early stages here. It'll take some time to slowly ease him in and become that, you know, the next guy for the Lightning. But as I've often said before, there's always one that gets caught up from the crunch and gets a lot out of their NHL fans saying, where did the Lightning get this guy? Could Dylan Duke maybe be that guy when the playoffs roll around, especially too? You get to call up a lot of those other players without worrying about the cap. We'll have to wait and see. But he's off to a good start, no question about it. Our number one star of the week is a player, another young one that's really coming to his own here lately. Played really good this week. Love to see it from that depth scoring point of view as well. And of course, that is Gage Gonsalves, who had a fantastic week scoring points, got a couple of nice assists, was playing well. A lot to like from Gage Gonsalves.
A couple of real nice assists. The one he, you know, sprung Victor Hedman on a little short breakaway on. I've been thinking he's been playing, you know, some of the best hockey maybe of his life right here. I'd never really watched him in his junior days or anything, but ever since being recalled up to the big leagues, he has been playing like a man on fire. Like, you know, smart defensively, like veteran style play. You know, not Patrice Bergeron or anything like that, but he has been there on a back check. There was one in the Senators game that I was at that got the arena pumped up. It was like a strip on a partial break that Gonsalves was the first guy back on. Stripped the puck and started going the other way with it, and it was just a beautiful defensive play that at least I was cheering in the arena for. Smart defensively, he's starting to look like a little bit of a nice playmaker. He's fitting in well with no matter who he's playing with. He's doing everything the correct way to be done. He's starting to look like an actual veteran despite being a young guy. Hopefully this isn't just, you know, a hot streak that he, you know, is getting called back up on. He's just playing really good for this little bit of time. This could be a flash of the player that he might actually become.
I think you said it really well. I mean, 3 points plus two in these four games. He looks like he's either, you know, just based on the roles that he's playing, that he's starting to blossom in terms of the game that he's more comfortable in, or he's just starting to really figure out the game better. I'm not sure which one it is, but he doesn't look as much of a rookie as we've seen him in the past. He looks like he's fitting in, and I feel like it's a really noticeable difference. And, you know, again, with all three of these guys, you know, they're more of role-playing characters, lower-line guys that are, you know, not necessarily the Kucherovs. And actually, if you want to bring up the comment, Jake, there from Dan.
Oh, I do want to bring up this comment because he said, got to ask, how does Hagel not crack the list? Well, to be fair, he didn't crack your list either. So just saying. But he's absolutely right.
Fair, how does fair.
Hagel not crack this list?
But the truth is he could have been on the list. Kucherov could have been on the list. Vasilevsky could have been on the list. And our top three start point could have been on the list. Yeah. Top three stars for this week happened to be role players, because let's face it, there were so many guys that played exceptionally well this week, that the best three players was really hard to pick. So rather than just, you know, pick the top names that we see every week, I think that, you know, we all kind of agreed that there were guys that play roles that are on lower lines that deserved some recognition. And what better week to do it in than one where, you know, the whole team was playing well.
It's the blue collar stars week, I guess. Like, you know, when else are we going to get a chance to appreciate Zemgus Girgensons? When is he going to get another star from us? You know, I hope he proves me wrong, but I was really excited with, you know, the excitement from you guys putting together this list too, you know, from guys that probably aren't going to be on this list, maybe not even on this team, and, you know, in the near future or anything like that. So I was happy putting this list together. There were probably more deserving guys like Hagel. I was saying in the chat, he's white hot going into these Four Nations tournaments. What did we come up with? 5 goals in 5 games, and then the assists that he's dragging along too. He's actually second
plus 10 this week. Plus 10.
Holy God, he's second on the team in points, which, you know, usually you expect Braden Point to be that guy, but he's sneaking up. He snuck past Braden Point.
So I think that this is still accurate because I looked up the stat maybe yesterday, but sorry, my dogs are going nuts now.
What's it like?
Hagel has 10% of his goals, or 10% of his points rather, are shorthanded. So we have to start asking, is he a penalty kill merchant?
We got penalty kill merchants, we got empty net merchants, we got all the different kinds of merchants on this Lightning team. Hey, points are points, and that's all that matters at the end of the day because it gets us on the board. Also, comment here from Lisa saying, can we give some love to Eric Chernak? Absolutely, we can do that again. We gave him some credit during the game recaps, but he's another one that could have definitely been on this list with his 3-game point streak, which was, when was the Michael pointing this out in our chat? His last 3-game point streak was 2021,
I believe, yeah,
if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, nice week for Eric Chernak as well. It's great to see that there were so many guys that could have been put on the – we always joke that this is Nikita Kucherov, 3 stars of the week, because Kucherov is on there every single week. So to give shout-outs to these other guys is great, and hopefully we can continue to do this down the road, because points aren't always the – telltale sign that you're going to be on the stars. They help a lot, no question about that, but got to give some recognition to some of the other guys out there as well. All right, a couple of things I want to get to. Before we get to the Four Nations face-off, there is a comment here from Daniel, though. No. Okay. Moving on.
No. Oh, actually, hold on. I think this is a great comment leading right into the Four Nations. I think we covered our 4 games pretty well. Upcoming schedule, all there is Four Nations. So why don't we go, because it is relevant, why don't we go into the rosters of the Four Nations and kind of what we're looking for, and then bring that comment back up here in a minute, because it, you know, I think that I'd love to see our mindset now and our mindset after these tournament games.
No, you're absolutely right, although still the answer is no for me. We've been talking too much about Boston this episode. I need to cleanse myself. You know a good place to go to do that is shop.rblrsports.com. Check out the awesome Tampa team-inspired merch that we got over there for you guys. Lightning, Bucks, Rays, Rowdies, you name it. You can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order as well. Links, as always, are in the description. I think, do we have some Sun merch in there too? Eureka, you got to tell me if we have that yet. I'm sure we do. Yes, okay, Sun. Get your Sun merch over there as well. So be sure to go check that out. It supports us. We really do appreciate it. You get some awesome merchandise out of it as well. Here's the schedule, by the way, guys, for the upcoming games for the Four Nations face-off. Did you guys see the cup, by the way, the trophy that they're giving out for the Four Nations face-off? It's actually pretty nice.
I did not see it.
It's on social media. Go jump on there and check it out if you haven't seen it yet. I think it's pretty cool. So the schedule, starting off in the Bell Center in Montreal, you got Canada versus Sweden tomorrow, Wednesday, February 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern. You have USA versus Finland on Thursday, February 13th, that again at 8 p.m. Eastern. Then you have Finland versus Sweden and USA and Canada in a doubleheader on the 15th of February. Those games will be at 1 p.m. and 8 p.m. respectively. Then they will switch over to Boston at TD Garden. You have Canada versus Finland on Monday, February 17th at 1 p.m. Eastern. Another doubleheader here with Sweden and USA playing at 8 p.m. Eastern. later that day. And then the championship game will be on Thursday, February 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern. So a couple of games to look forward to this week for the Four Nations face-off. Guys, what team do we want to start with here for the roster-wise?
Let's go Finland, since I feel like that's the one that we can probably cover the fastest.
Finland is probably the one we can't cover the fastest, because it is the one team that does not have a representative of the Tampa Bay Lightning. There are no Lightning players on Team Finland. Quote unquote, you know, stats wise, maybe the weakest looking roster, but you know, it's tough to be a stacked roster when you look at someone like Team Canada sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it depends also on how their goalies play, I feel. You know, they could be, you know, everybody, you got to pull up the roster yourself. We're not going to list off all, like, what is it, 100 and some players that are on the in this tournament total. But in terms of firepower, it just seems like they don't have quite as much as some of the other squads. And most importantly, they don't have any Lightning players either.
Yeah, pass. I got nothing to say about Finland.
They've got some potentially good players. You know, they're kind of that sneaky team that you don't really think about and could surprise you out of nowhere. But they're not the biggest one when all that firepower is stacked on all these other rosters. So nothing too crazy there. We'll see how they do. The big one that we should talk about that does have a Lightning member on the team, and that's Team Sweden, and it's the captain, Victor Hedman, leading Team Sweden as the captain as well. A lot to like on this team, especially on the defensive side, guys.
I feel like that's mostly what they have is defense, too. I mean, a lot of really skilled defensemen come out of, honestly, both of these countries that we just mentioned. In terms of forwards, that's got some skill. Filip Forsberg's got some firepower. Carlson, William Carlson. Zibanejad, who, I mean, he's just still has that one-timer that works well on a power play, even if he is getting to the later part of his season. William Nylander, who knows what he can end up coming up with. There's some players that, you know, maybe if they're working really well together and they have that lockdown defensive game, that they can get in there. But I still kind of think it's basically between Canada and USA for most of this tournament.
If Jacob Markstrom didn't get injured, I would have Sweden as like a dark horse, you know, candidate for a winner. But now I do have him pegged kind of at third. Right now it is still a U.S. versus Canada prediction for me. But hopefully Victor Hedman, you know, shows out. Hopefully all the Lightning players show out for this tournament. It's nothing but good news for us if that happens. But, yeah, Victor, you know, has himself a whale of a tournament, which I think he can. You know, he's going to be the captain. He's going to be the number one defenseman probably on the power play. I'm excited to see how he plays, especially with like, his buddy Erik Karlsson and his fellow countrymen as well. I'm excited for Victor to be in this position, you know, a captain position. I don't know how serious it might be, you know, being the captain of this little made-up tournament thingy, but still, what, you know, what a cool thing to have under your belt as well, being the captain of your you know, of your national team, even if it is for a little made-up tournament that I am excited for, but it is still kind of kitschy.
I just saw this quote on Twitter as I'm scrolling through trying to find the official rosters here from Victor Hedman. He said, "Every time I walk into John's office, John Cooper, at Amway Arena in Tampa, he has the silver medal sitting right there. I have the gold one at home." So Victor Hedman throwing some shade at John Cooper. Oh, you got to love that. The guys playing so many games together, over 1,000 games, yet they can turn on the little competition here. That's really cool to see. So
let's move on to the U.S. I think that maybe we'll speak the least about U.S. instead of Canada, right? There's so much going on with this with this squad. I think it's going to come down to if they've actually got enough defense to be able to withstand some of the other teams. But having Jack Hughes, Jack Eichel, Jake Gensel, JT Miller and Austin Matthews, who can put up, you know, a ton of goals, the Tkachuk brothers, oh my God, if they're playing on the same line, I mean, they won't be, but it's like the Bash Brothers being out there, and they can. Oh yeah, by the way, they can score as well.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember those two at the All-Star game a couple of years ago, and I know it's the All-Star game, but they had built-in chemistry, the Tkachuk brothers. As much as I don't like Matthew, I do like Brady. Putting them together, I think, is probably the right idea. I think the line combinations, the potential line combos came out today or yesterday or something, and there are some perplexing decisions on this on all the rosters, really. But man, if the Tkachuks could play together, that would be awesome to watch. Of course, I'm cheering for the guys on Canada individually, but man, USA, they're my pick for this tournament easily. Goaltending's the X factor there.
Hellebuck, man, he can be a really, really good goaltender if he turns it on. He can be a little inconsistent sometimes too. Coming here from Dan as well, there's so many players that hate on Team USA. You're not wrong at all. But hey, you know what? It's Team USA, and that nation pride will come out a little bit for me, I think, and still rooting for those guys, no question.
Think about how annoying it would be to play against them.
I could not imagine. I'm sure extremely annoying. Jake Guentzel, of course, the representation here for the Lightning on Team USA. Excited to see him get in the mix there. He's been having a really good season down in Tampa, and we'll see how he converts here on the Four Nations faceoff. Playing potentially on a line with Austin Matthews, maybe? That could be interesting. Those are two guys that are some of the top fours in the NHL. Could become a really, really good connection there as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the coaches play their hands there with these teams. But let's get to the last team here, and that of course is Team Canada, who is so ridiculously stacked that in the lines today that we saw from Cooper at practice today, that Point was on the third line and Hagel and Sorelli were sitting on the fourth line. That's how good Team Canada is.
Who was with them, with Hagel and Sorelli?
Hagel and Sorelli were together, and then it was, I believe,
so if I'm not mistaken,
Travis Konecny. It was Travis Konecny.
Oh, they had him on that one? Okay, so before they had him with Marchand, which is why I kind of wanted to wait with it, because could you imagine a fourth line being Sorelli, Hagel, and Marchand?
Like, well,
that is just insane.
You know, Marchand's put a lot of his antics behind him. I know he did, you know, Darth Vader grab a guy by his throat a couple weeks ago, but he's not the Marchand of 2016 or whatever, where he's slew-footing guys. But you know who is such an underrated rat player who plays very similar to Marchand is Konecny. Like, if that is the projected line right there, you know who else is a prick too is Anthony Cirelli. You know who else is just awful to play against is Brandon Hagel. You know who all plays shorthanded together? Those three guys. Or not together, but they all play shorthanded. That line sounds horrible to play against. You know, just you got a group of forecheck and honey badger, you know, penalty killing machines just beating you in the corners. And they're all pretty small guys that pack a punch. That's going to be a fun, fun line to watch because they're meat and potato style of hockey players. They're not Connor McDavid's or Nathan McKinnon's just, you know, skating as fast as you can in for a breakaway. They play, I've said it, you know, a million times this podcast, the right brand of hockey. So that's going to be really fun to watch if that's the current projected line.
Yeah, and as a fourth line, you know, somebody that can grind you down, they're so good defensively.
Oh, yeah.
And then they can 100% bury it when they have the opportunity. A lot of times you get a fourth line that, you know, they'll make sure you don't get scored or they don't get scored on, but when they get the opportunity going the other way, maybe 50-50. No, these guys will bury it. And I know you're saying that they're doing with Konecny, how he'd be annoying. But I was kind of trying to tie in a little bit on Dan's on Dan's comment. If you don't mind, you know, if Marchand is available for a trade, you take him in Tampa. I don't know that I can get behind that trade, but I am really looking forward to seeing what happens on Team Canada, especially if he is on a line with those two guys, because Hagel, Sorelli, and Marchand. That sounds ridiculous.
I can't get behind trading for Marchand. I'd like him on the team. I can get behind him as a free agent signing in the summer, but I'm not trading assets to get, you know, 35-year-old Brad Marchand. And I forget who had the quote, but apparently it's going to take a massive haul to get him out of Boston. So whatever that trade would be, I'm not a fan of. It'd be great getting him, but I will take him in free agency. As much as you guys might hate it, he's a guy that you hate that he's not on your team. You'd love him on your team.
I disagree, Matt. Listen, you guys know me. I'm very rose-colored glasses. I'm a diehard Lightning fan. We all know this. It's not shocking to anybody. I don't want Marchand on my team. I don't want that. I don't want that energy. I don't want that negativity. And I also truly do believe, I think there are better fits out there for the Lightning. I think there's guys that they can go and get that aren't as expensive either. If that's the
Alex Tuck
for Marchand, Alex Tuck is maybe one of them. So I'm not for it. In free agency, I mean, at least you deal with not having to trade for him. But I mean, what's his price going to be? I feel like his price tag would be too high potentially for the Lightning. I don't know. But no, I'm not a Marchand fan, and I can't have. I would be very upset at that. Not make me happy.
But that comment, that last comment up too.
I was trying to get to it because my thing wasn't refreshing. Perfect timing. Imagine it would cost less assets than Alex Tuck, who they're rumored to be in on. Would it though? I mean,
no. You would have to. The GM Don Sweeney said it would take a lot to take him out of Boston. I think Alex Tuck is a sleeper that you could probably get for pretty cheap, especially because Kevin Adams, the Buffalo GM, is stupid. Tuck would take a lot, stupid. But
not more.
It would be a.
Like, I was completely on your side, Jake, in terms of I don't want a guy with that sort of energy here in Tampa, someone that could be a distraction, someone that, you know, potentially could be, I'm not going to call him a cancer in the locker room, but, you know, because he's somebody that has such antics on the ice that how do you back up a guy like that all the time? With Marchand, you disagree with that?
Yes.
Matt? All right. So, but what I will say is that playing under Cooper might have some sort of effect on him where he doesn't have some sort of issue like that on the ice, where he is more poised, more under control, because it's, you know, it'd just be a different feeling being here.
What's the over under on how many times Marchand would get benched for upsetting Cooper? Because we know Cooper doesn't pull pinches. If you do something wrong that upsets him, he will not play you, i.e. playing missing team meetings.
That's what I'm saying, is maybe he's mature enough to be able to handle what's going on here and not walk all over a coach. They've had a lot of different coaches in Boston.
Especially
over the years that he's been there. There's been a lot of coaches.
Well, we're going to get a small glimpse of it in this Four Nations face-off. Maybe you're right. I doubt it.
If he licks somebody in this tournament, call me wrong.
Then we'll know. Then we'll know.
Never would I have imagined speculating Marchand to Tampa Bay ever in my life at any capacity.
Comment here from CR, Marchand doesn't fit in with our team. Yeah, that's kind of the theme. Listen, all bias aside and antics wise, he's a good player. Obviously, he knows how to play the game of hockey. There's a reason he's one of the top guys in Boston. But
when he's playing hockey,
right? When he's playing, exactly. But I just don't think he does fit in with the team. And again, I think there are better options out there for JBB, who is, by the way, the GM of Team Canada. So maybe he's keeping a watchful eye on some of these guys out there on the ice in this Four Nations face-off.
Oh. So I'm definitely looking forward to in the next show. Basically, I assume just going to be covering the Four Nations because that'll be the only new news that we have. We can give a little bit of update as to what we end up seeing, because it will be Marchand playing under Coach Cooper, potentially alongside, I mean, there's a pretty, pretty good chance alongside some Lightning players.
Well, and I'm sure the line blender will come out for Coach Cooper at some point during these Four Nations face-offs. So I'm sure we'll get to see a mix of things. By the way, last thing before we wrap, for you guys, I saw a picture of John Cooper in the Canada sweatshirt and hat in the red coloring. It just gave me shivers.
It looks weird.
So weird. He looks good in Bolts blue. We need to leave it at that. Don't ever leave us, Coop. I don't want to see that.
Pick for the tournament, Jake?
Yes, because Dan did ask this as well. Who did we pick for our winner for the tournament? USA. My heart, Team USA. Of course, I want Team USA to win. But it's probably Team Canada. Their team is so loaded. They got so many good players there.
Yeah, they've got a good penalty killing unit, and that's about it. And a good guy that sits in the bumper spot.
Let's go, and Team US.
USA. USA.
And Matt, of course, going with Team USA. All right, Team USA, that's who we're cheering for. Let us know down in the comments below who you guys are rooting for. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes just like this one. Ring that bell of notifications. Follow us on social media at RBLR Sports and at RBLR Lightning and all of that good stuff. We appreciate all of you tuning in with us. With that said, we'll talk to you in the next one. Go Team USA.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.